Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Rogan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome in. It is Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and Jeff Fekels today on this hump day on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
It's Wednesday, but it's actually a Tuesday in football days.
For the Giants.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Monday night football against the Philadelphia.
Get an extra day. Extra day to heal up. A lot of guys that are hurt get that extra day. John Beeson, maybe that extra day helps him get back on the field.
You know? We are going to have Dave Spadaro, by the way, on with us at 12:15. You have the phone number, yes? No.
You know how long I have known Dave Spadaro from?
No, I don't.
1990, I have known Dave since 1990.
Have you really?
So that's what, 25 years?
Can I have a piece of paper?
Yeah, you can have it here. Dave was the one of the beat guys in Philly when I was there, and then so he went to work. Does he work for the Eagles now?
He oversees all of their online stuff.
Okay, there you go.
And he's
all right. Well, good. I look forward to talking to Dave.
Yes, and he's absolutely fantastic. Oh no, I was going to make it into an airplane. Okay. I miss doing that. Remember when you were in school and you had like a crush on somebody and you like would put the you'd write a little note, then you'd make it a little airplane.
Square it up.
Right?
Yeah, just
no.
I used to do a little
of
little,
course you did. Of course that's how you sent your love letters in high school
the
with a
field
little
goal.
Field goal flick. Anyway, welcome in Anita Marks and Jeff Fekels with you. Phone number 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants chat. That is how you get on board. And, man, Giants fans have to feel real good about themselves right now. 3-2 on top of the NFC East while a number of these other teams are somewhat struggling. I mean, look, Dallas is in – word is that they're going to make another quarterback change.
Look I like think they did.
Matt Cassel is going to be the starting quarterback.
I think I read right before I came in that they're switching quarterbacks.
Obviously, the Giants getting ready to take on the Philadelphia Eagles on Monday Night Football. So, obviously, that would be a huge win against a division opponent. And, of course, you've got the Washington Redskins, who actually look quite good in Week 5. I think their defense is really coming around.
Well, you look at – if the Giants can win this game, they would move to 4-2, which they would be 2-1 in the division. And they would have a two-game lead over the next – you know, the next team. So, you know, listen, and then the schedule, we can talk about this. Players don't and coaches don't, but we can.
So the Cowboys are on a bye.
And then next week, the Giants go to play Dallas because they're coming off a bye.
The Cowboys are on a bye. So they're going to stay at 2-3. Obviously, as we said, the Giants get to take on the Eagles. So hopefully the Giants advance to 4-2 and the Eagles do fall to 2-4.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got a Washington Redskin going up against a Jets team. That the Jets are coming off of bye. They get Sheldon Richardson back. Their defense is just sick. That's going to be an interesting game.
So if the Jets beat Washington, they're 2-4 too.
If ever there was a week the Giants fans wanted to root for Jets fans, this is it.
I think we were rooting for the Jets a couple weeks ago when they were playing the other team.
So you're absolutely right. I mean, if the Giants and the Jets win here, the Giants have an opportunity of taking a two-game lead in this division, going up 4-2.
And then going to play Dallas next week.
Boom.
And then after Dallas is New Orleans, and then Tampa. So, listen.
A walk in the park.
We don't want to look ahead.
I'm just kidding.
But we do. That's because we can, right? We can look ahead.
We can. We're allowed.
We can talk about it. But the only thing that this team is looking ahead for is tomorrow when they get back to practice. On the field for preparation for this their Eagles game, big Monday nighter, and again, just like this week, Anita, I said this Monday with Lance, or actually said it last Friday. The great thing about when you play on Sunday night or a Monday night game is that you have the whole landscape of the National Football League right out in front of you before you take the field, so you understand which teams have won, which teams have lost, and it adds a little more pressure to you, or sometimes it takes it away. Sunday night, the Giants knew exactly what they had to do in order to get into first place. Well, you know what? They're going to know this week, too, because they're playing on Monday night. They're going to be able to watch some games on Sunday. and sit in that hotel room, relax, and just check out the whole NFL, because on Monday night, they're going to go down to Philadelphia, play this team, and have a chance to be in first place, maybe with two-game lead, and come out of there good. The question is, who's going to play? We got a lot of injuries to be talk about, and who's going to kind of, especially at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, we're going to get into that in a hot second. Want to let fans know that Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by, of course, DraftKings. Don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live, of course, will help you win in your DraftKings lineup each and every week. I'm gonna give some sleeper picks at the end of the show, by the way.
Good, because I'm coming on Friday for my picks. So maybe I get to listen to Anita's stuff today and then maybe piggyback off of it on Friday, because
– Well, is it DraftKings or is it
– Yeah.
Where you're picking players for money?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Absolutely.
So
yeah. I spend people's money on Friday.
They are the daily fantasy sports destination. You can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code New York, and play for free today. Let's talk about before we head out to the phone lines, and we are in a hot second, but you're right. The biggest concern for the Giants going into this matchup against the Philadelphia Eagles is the fact that there are so many players that are coming off of that win against the San Francisco 49ers injured. Odell Beckham Jr. dealing with a hamstring issue. Reuben Randle dealing with a hamstring issue. Victor Cruz with a calf. Fingers crossed that maybe he'll finally have his 2015 NFL debut this Monday night. We don't know. But there is a chance that this team will not have those wide receivers going into this Monday night football game. What does that mean? It elevates Dwayne Harris's
status. Becomes the number one.
Dwayne Harris becomes the number one. I think that you'll see more of a hybrid Shane Vereen moving out from the running back position, playing a lot of slot. I also think you'll see Larry Donnell come off the offensive line and play at the slot position as well. So, you know, it will be intriguing if that is the case, where you're not going to have Cruz, you won't have Randle, you won't have Odell. But fingers crossed that it doesn't get to that.
No, you don't know how serious the hamstrings are, so we can't speculate on it. But as of right now, you know, it's just we don't know. But, you know, Jeremy Davis is a guy that, you know, he's been in the system now for training camp and everything else, so you certainly would see him. The young guy they brought over from the Packers practice squad, you know, he's been around a week. So, I think that, you know, he did a decent job in the game the other night, but I know that there was probably some mental errors in there, because when you just come in off the practice squad, not running any type of offense other than the other team's offense, because that's all the practice squad guys do, it'd be very difficult for him to come in and run any plays with the Giants, which he tried to do Sunday night. And, and then you also got John Beeson on the other side, the flip side of the defense, you know, that kind of injury. And Devon Kennard, is he going to be able to come back? Because you will, you know, Anita, it was pretty telling that this Giants defense needs John Beeson and Kennard, because
but look what Carlos Hyde was able to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they, they really need those two guys to be back in the lineup, because this Philadelphia Eagles offense, you know, all of a sudden, I guess we're going to crown them again as being just, woo, they're really great. They beat up on the New Orleans Saints, for God's sakes, whose defense is horrible. They put up however many points they did, but the fact they are explosive, and, you know, the Giants have to understand that, but, you know, we're not talking about world beaters here in the Philadelphia Eagles. This is my opinion. Okay, the Giants are a better football team. They're going on the road to play down there, which is tough. It's always tough to play. The Giants and the Eagles have dominated the Giants the last, I don't know how many, 14 out of 16, 17 times they played. I mean, it's pretty sad. But this could be a different story, I think, coming this time. I think this team has the better quarterback. I think it has the smarter quarterback, and they just can't make mistakes down there, Anita. You cannot go on the road and make mistakes.
Well, one thing that I think you saw differently with the Philadelphia Eagles in the game against the New Orleans Saints is that they were able to establish a rushing attack. And DeMarco Murray.
Finally, right?
Right. DeMarco Murray, it's around the outside. You know that song, Around the Outside? So it's around the outside for him, and he got success. This is where I have some concerns, because if there's no Devon Kennard, I think it's going to be a lot of pressure on JT Thomas with his speed at that linebacking position, because if their offensive line had success around the outside, that they need to contain that. They cannot, because I think that's where you saw this Eagles offense really have success, is because they were able to establish a rushing attack with DeMarco Murray. That cannot happen. Also, another thing that I'm seeing is Sam Bradford is spreading the ball around. I mean, coming into the season, it was all about Jordan Matthews and Nelson Agholor.
Sure.
And then you saw 2 weeks ago, it was Riley Cooper. It was Miles Austin. This past week, I'm trying to think who got involved there.
Probably quite a few if you brought it up.
Huff. Josh Huff was. Yeah. I mean, so and Zach Ertz is finally had 7 targets last week. So what's happened? Also, what I'm seeing is that you know they're expanding kind of their targets and including a number of guys. So it's like you can't go in and just plan for this wide receiver or that tight end. Brent Celek has had a few touchdowns
sure.
the past few
like
games.
They used to have to concentrate on Macklin, you know.
And they have Ryan Matthews and they have Darren Sproles. So there's
don't forget about him.
There's a plethora of talent that Chip Kelly is utilizing, and he is utilizing everybody. So it's kind, you know what it reminds me of, kind of like the
video game.
No, well, yeah, but kind of like the Patriots, where each and every week you go up against the Patriots,
yeah.
you don't know who Bill Belichick is going to highlight.
Is they he find highlight, somebody?
Is he going to highlight LeGarrette Blount this week? Is he going to highlight Dion Lewis?
Right.
Is he going to highlight Edelman? Is he going to highlight Gronk? You know, because Chip Kelly has so much talent that they're working with going into this game, you just don't know who they're really going to bring to the table in regard to what their game plan is going to center around.
Don't slight. Sproles, man. Maybe
especially
that dude is
on
awesome.
Specials. Yep.
On everything. That guy is just a but you know what? The Giants got their own little Sproles and Shane Vereen, in my opinion. You know, I mean you look at what he can do. He doesn't return punts, but he does return kickoffs. So, you know, you get him in the offense like he did last week and Anita, you said it earlier, depending on the personnel and who the Giants have against the Eagles, you're gonna have to find out what Shane Vereen can do for you. So.
All right, let's take some calls before, again, Dave Spadaro, who covers the Eagles for Eagles.com, is going to join us on the show in just a few minutes. But let's go to Mike on line 2, calling in from California. Mike, welcome.
Morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Great to talk to you guys.
You too.
So, you know, I'm calling in just number one, just to say that it's been a lot of fun watching the Giants. The last 3 games, the first 2 games were a bit heartbreaking, but you know, I love the tenacity. I like the team play, and I'm enjoying the heck out of it. But you guys really kind of got to the meat already of what I wanted to call about, and really it was just kind of the idea that the NFL is a league of attrition, and you look at what's going on with the Cowboys. That's a pretty good example of it, and they're all over the league. But you know, I wanted to start off by talking about the linebackers, because to me, you know, we're just a different team when it's JT Thomas, John Beeson, and Devin Kennard. And, you know, Juan Ianga, Casillas, Herzlick, I think they had a lot of depth. And I've been happier this year with the linebacking core than I've been in recent memory. And I got to give you credit, Anita, because I think JT Thomas has played really well. And I remember that you kind of talked him up at the beginning of the season. There were a lot of doubters. But I think he's played well. But you know, Jeff, you brought up Darren Sproles. And I got preview nightmares happening already, seeing him taking those short passes over the middle. And I just, with the drop-off in speed and kind of experience and knowledge when we lose Beeson and Kennard, you know, I'm pretty worried about the impact that Sproles is going to have in this game.
Well, you know, you kind of go back and look what Dallas did the first game and then Atlanta. Remember, they just came out and they dinked and dunked all over the place. Then you saw a little bit of it from Washington. You know, the Buffalo Bills did. So they're all taking a page out of that, you know. So what's going to happen is, you're right, you got to be a little bit scared of what's going to happen with Sproles in there. But you hope that Spagnuolo can put something together here and understand get those guys back. You know, Casillas was been out of the lineup too last week, so you got to bring him back too to play, get some linebacker play, because you know you said you were impressed with the linebackers this year. I'm impressed with the depth of the linebackers. I think that they're able to fill in a little bit better than the depth in the past when a guy like Kennard or Beeson gets hurt. So I agree with you there.
Mike, thanks for the phone call.
Yeah, Mike, thank you. Early in California.
Let's go to line 3. We've got Jay in D.C. Jay, welcome in.
Jay.
Hey, Anita. Hey, Jeff. How you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, man. What's up?
Hey, listen, I just wanted to speak about a few things. I'm excited about the game that's coming up. We put ourselves in good position in first place, taking care of San Francisco. You know, I also just wanted to make a comment, Anita and Jeff. You know, a lot of people outside of Giants Nation and inside of Giants Nation has really criticize Eli Manning for our 0-2 start, you know, saying he didn't deserve the money, you know, and I just want to tell them to stop it. You know, Eli Manning is one of the most clutchest quarterbacks in NFL history. He's one of the smartest quarterbacks, to me, in my opinion.
Well, he showed it last week.
And he definitely showed it last night, Jeff, you know, and it's just a testament to what he can do. And I just am really excited about the next game coming up. I was surprised that Larry Donnell made the catch because I gave John so much slack about Larry Donnell and his inability to fumble and his ability to slip. But this guy makes amazing catches, you know, so I'm excited to see what he can do in Philly. I also like Will Tye. So hopefully we can bring all of them together. The defense can play great. Maybe with Mike, I think Mike from California was saying about Sproles. Hopefully, Hurdle can kind of keep up because I do see that nightmare being a complete problem. So hopefully we can fix it up and continue to win. Go Giants. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for the phone call. I mean, Eli Manning, by the way, if you haven't heard, won NFC Offensive Player of the Week this week, and deservingly so.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know if he hadn't have won it. I mean, somebody had to put up like 4 touchdowns and 590 yards.
Well, Blake Bortles actually put up 4 touchdowns last week if you had him on DraftKings.
Yeah, but he plays for the Jaguars.
We have Dave on. Fantastic. Let's bring in Dave Spadaro. Dave covers all things Philadelphia Eagles. You can find him on eagles.com. Dave, welcome on. You're on with Anita Marks and Jeff Feagles. How you doing?
Good. Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Jeff, how you doing? Hey, it's a funny matchup. It's the Offensive Player of the Week in the NFC. Eli Manning against the Defensive Player of the Week in the NFC, Fletcher Cox. He was really dominant against the Saints on Sunday, so it should be another great win in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it should. You know, let's talk about this Eagles team for a second in regard to, I think for the first time, you know, we really saw this offense, albeit, and Jeff, you alluded, I mean, listen, it's the Saints defense. They're not a very good defense. But we finally kind of, I think, got a taste of what Chip Kelly envisioned when he put this offense together. Is this offense finally coming together, Dave? Or is it a matter of, well, the Saints defense just wasn't that good? It was actually quite easy to execute.
I think Monday is going to be a really great telltale sign. To answer that question, this was a dominant performance on Sunday against a bad Saints defense. We all acknowledge that. And it would have been, you know, 60 points. The Eagles should have put up 60 points, 55 points, whatever, had there not been a couple of red zone interceptions, a couple of missed opportunities on fourth down drives. The Eagles were moving the football at will. And I think the real test comes against the Giants defense that leads the league in run efficiency and has struggled against the pass, which I'm not sure any of those numbers mean anything. It's a good Steve Spagnuolo defense. He knows what the Eagles are going to do. He's going to put pressure on the line of scrimmage and on Sam Bradford and force the Eagles to go horizontally in the run game rather than vertically. So I really want to see if this is the real deal. The Eagles have had throughout the first four games just been dominated at the line of scrimmage in the run game. It was just bizarre to watch. It was, you know, DeMarco Murray was getting a handoff and three defenders were on him immediately. There was nowhere to go. At one point, he was averaging 19 inches a carry, I think, through the first three games. So they made some adjustments. They've changed up some of the formations. They've altered some of the tendencies. They've executed better. They've called plays better. And then they went out and they had some fun on Sunday.
From what I understand, Sam Bradford had a players-only meeting in the shower at half. Is that?
Well, no. It was a pregame, and the shower is the shower room is you run out onto the field in any locker room. It's very jammed, and there were no distractions. It was a very brief meeting, and I think Sam has these quite a bit, and it just kind of indicates to me that he's more comfortable here. When you come to a team as a rookie or as a free agent, and you are certainly in that position, you know, you are to be the man initially. I mean, right away. And I just think it takes time to become comfortable for everyone around Sam to trust him, for him to trust them. And to me, it was just a sign that Sam's becoming more comfortable leading this football team, being the quarterback, feeling better about his situation, staying healthy for five games. And but look, anything that can kind of make him feel and develop chemistry, make him feel better in the locker room, I think that's a good thing for the Eagles.
Well, what would scare me if I'm an Eagles fan or maybe even Eagles coach is the fact that because Bradford, you know, he doesn't stay healthy, and that the Giants' defense is pretty good at stopping the run. And if they can force the Eagles to start throwing the football, one good thing, though, Dave, is that the Giants don't have a pass rush. So if they have to go back and throw the ball a couple times, I think he'd be okay. But, you know, the Giants typically all of this season have had a tough problem covering the little dump-off pass, and we had a caller before you got on the show here, Dave. There, everybody's concerned about Darren Sproles. Darren Sproles this, Darren Sproles. How impactful has he been in this offense this year? We know what he did last year. Is he still about the same?
Yeah, I don't see any difference in his quickness, and he just is a remarkable football player at 5 feet, 6 inches tall.
About
and
as tall
I
as
think
you.
This, yeah, at the most. And he's just a great, great electrifying player. Really adds a lot of spark. You'll see him move around the formation. The Eagles try to get the ball to him a lot. Didn't get the ball to him much on Sunday. The Saints tried to take him away, and that opened up a lot of other things. Tight ends got involved early. Ryan Matthews and DeMarco Murray had, I believe, 8 catches combined. Tight ends had 8 catches combined. Just his presence on the field really attracts a lot of attention. And the Eagles will use, as they did on Sunday, they'll use the short passing game to set up the run. So there is some versatility in this offense, and I think everybody's aware that the Giants, it's just a weird mix. They've been so good against the run and not as effective at all against the pass, and the pass rush has been challenged. But look, the Eagles, until Sunday, had not done a good job really either protecting Sam or establishing the line of scrimmage in the run game. And so, again, that's why I think Monday night is going to be so critical to see how for real this Eagles offense is. It looked great on Sunday. Previously, though, other than really the second half of the opening game against the Atlanta Falcons, at times it just looked downright awful. I mean, and everybody acknowledged that. And so it'll be interesting to see how Spagnuolo attacks what the Eagles do, because the Eagles will spread you out and run the football. They'll spread you out and throw the football. They'll spread you out and throw it short, and then they'll spread you out and try to get you deep. So if Bradford looks like he's getting more comfortable, and you can see why the Eagles made the trade to get rid of Nick Foles to bring in Sam Bradford.
Dave Spadaro joining us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. You can find him on Eagles.com. I was talking to Jeff before you came on board, and that one thing that I've noticed the past 2 weeks is that Sam Bradford is spreading the ball around. I mean, last week it was Riley Cooper and Miles Austin. This past week it was Josh Huff, and finally Zach Ertz got 7 targets. So I think that's one of the elements that makes this Eagles offense so good, is that there are so many talents that you kind of, I think it's hard to prepare and game plan for one specific. It's like when teams go up against the Giants, they know they are game planning for Odell Beckham Jr. Like, that's the guy you need to stop. I think with the Eagles, I think it gets a little bit more difficult.
I think it's interesting, Anita, after the preseason, and the Eagles really lit it up in the preseason, they played great offensive football, obviously no game planning, no scheming. I wrote that this offense was more talented than any that I had seen here, and I've been here for every game since Jeff Fiegels had a mullet. And so then to come into the season and see it shut down as completely as it was really shocking to everyone. The wide receiving core has been plagued by drops. They've had a bunch of, I think, 17. There is not a, quote, superstar like Odell Beckham in this group. Jordan Matthews is kind of the headliner. Tight end Zach Ertz is a good player. Brent Celek has been around for a long time, really respected veteran. But they try to beat you with depth, they try to beat you with tempo, and they try to beat you with, okay, where do I have a favorable matchup? And that's why they try to, you know, go play no huddle. They want to take a look at where they feel the good matchups, the right matchups going to be. They believe they can get the ball to a running back for a running catch, and to the tight ends down the field, and to any one of these receivers who are not at the level of Beckham Jr. and maybe even Reuben Randall. Who knows? He's a great player too. Victor Cruz, certainly, when he's healthy. But, you know, they feel like they've got a good number of receivers here who can make plays on you if they get the right matchup. And that's what it's all about, finding the favorable matchup and going to that player.
Well, I think that, you know, you're talking a lot about what the Giants do offensively too, Dave. When you think about, if you watch the game, what Eli did in the first half last week, you know, they don't huddle. They go to the line of scrimmage. They look for the matchups. You got a guy like Eli who's been in this league for so long, one of the smarter guys in the National Football League, and he can basically get up there and choose what he wants to do against the coverages that the opponent has given him. So you look at both teams here. the tempo, the up-tempo that they play. I think at one point in time you're going to have to decide, you know, which team is going to be able to run the football to keep their, you know, their own defense off the field when you think about it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's interesting. Defensive coordinator Bill Davis just finished meeting the media, and he said that the games last year against the Giants provided the Eagles. It was the best defensive game they had when New York played down here, and the Eagles just overwhelmed the Giants. And then up there when Eli threw for, you know, almost whatever it was, 500 yards, and the Eagles could not get off the field defensively. Well, tons of respect for what the Giants do offensively. You're absolutely right. He can crush you in the vertical game, down to the throwing the ball down to the wide receivers. And then picking up somebody like Shane Vereen is just a wonderful piece of weaponry to what he does. He's so, you know, we're seeing in the NFL, it's so hard to cover these backs in space. The Eagles use a lot of wheel routes. They get their running backs out onto the flanks and into space, and they're really tough to cover too. So, I mean, look, at this point, I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of points scored on Monday night, and you're right, it could very well come down to which offense is on the field at the end of the game. The key for the Eagles, they have to start fast. They've been outscored 39-3 collectively at halftime in their three losses, and I just don't see it coming. I don't see a team coming back like that. The Giants have learned their lessons, it seems, after those first two losses, you know, in the fourth quarter. They've done a better job finishing games. Certainly they finished the game very strong on Sunday night. I just think the Eagles coming back from a deficit against the Giants will be really hard to do. So the Eagles need to get out to a lead on Monday night.
Dave, before I let you go, just out of curiosity, there's been so much talk about Chip Kelly and his future in Philadelphia that if things don't go right, maybe he goes back to college, maybe to Texas, maybe to USC. Has that talk affected this team, the locker room at all? Is there a different
No,
vibe?
Because, you know, Anita, from the day he was hired here, everybody said, okay, Chip's going to be here for 2 years and then go to Texas. Oh, Chip's going to be here for two years and go to – it's been constant. And I don't think Chip's even been asked the question yet. I mean, it's just a random string of rumors, one after another with Chip Kelly. And he's just focused on beating the Giants. That's enough – of a challenge that all this other stuff, and the players don't listen to that stuff. So it really is more of the chatter out there. I don't think it's even seeped into the woodwork of the NovaCare complex yet. I don't think anybody's even put it on the radar.
All right, Dave, thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure when you join us on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Thanks, Dave. Good talking to you, buddy.
Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
Have a great day. So what did you walk away from? That
I walk away that Dave remembers my mullet.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. We re-red tag that.
It was sweet.
We're going to use that for our highlight show at the end of the year.
Yeah, right.
Maybe we'll pull up some old photographs.
I take away that I have a card. One of my football cards from the Eagles has a sweet shot of me with the mullet. And when I get one in the mail next time, I'll bring it.
Really?
We'll put it up here. But
if it makes you feel any better, when I was in high school, it was the time that like it was like U2 and Tears for Fears and all that, and so I had like this really kind of funky short hairdo, and then I had this one long piece of hair, and I dyed half of it blonde, and I would braid it, so I'd have I'd have this like kind of short, kind of like wild, spiky, kind of fun hair, and then I had this long piece of hair that was braided and was kind of like a candy cane. Does that make you feel any better?
Well, not really.
If anybody looks up those photographs, they're going to be like, what was she thinking? Like, her parents actually let her out of the house looking
like that? It was the sign of the times. It was that, you know, 16 candles and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right?
It was awesome.
Wasn't that a great time?
I still love it. I still love the 80s, 80s on 8 on XM Sirius Radio.
Wasn't it just so fun? The 80s were so fun.
It was good stuff. It was good stuff.
Anyway, okay.
All right, let's bring
it. What else did you
walk away from? We're now 2015. We're fast forward.
What else did you walk away with the conversation?
I think that both these offenses, when they're playing well, can dictate what they want to do with these defenses, because I don't think the Giants' defense, I think they're better than the Eagles' defense, but they do have some exposure problems. You know, the passing game, and particularly in the rush, getting the rush on the quarterback. So, but I think offensively for the Giants, they can do the same thing they can with this defense for the Eagles, because you know they do have some good players. You know, it depends on if they get Kiko back. I know he missed last week's game, so you know that's going to depend on a lot of their pass rush. But I honestly think that this Giants defense can give this Philadelphia Eagles rushing offense, even if they have DeMarco Murray. I don't care. You know, I don't care. That line for the Eagles is not as good as what he ran behind in Dallas last year. So, and this defense for the Giants is pretty good at stopping the run. They got a little exposed last week, but you know what? They still have yet to, you know, get back-to-back games where they're just blowing it out. This is a good defense for this Giants team. So we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be a great game, a good divisional matchup, a key game for the Giants, because what we talked about earlier, if those other teams can win or lose, it just depends. We'll see.
And remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, you pick up your cash. It's that simple. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code New York to claim your free entry today. We're going to continue with your calls, so let me know who's still on board.
We got Abdul.
201-939-4513, and also I will get to your tweets, hashtag Giants chat. Let's go back to the phone lines. As Jeff said, Abdul from Minnesota is up first. Abdul, welcome in.
Hey, guys. Anita, your haircut sounded awesome. I think you rocked it back in the day.
I did.
There you go.
What was going on at that point in time, I was rocking it. Right now, I don't think anyone would hire me.
Fair enough. Well, I'm going to go a little back. About a pass rush. I think it's been well documented. It's kind of lacking. But I think it's having an unintended consequence on our offense. Luckily, it's only had, I think, 3 or 4 turnovers, and they've all happened in the red zone. And I think it's because of our lack of pass rush that our offense is struggling, kind of forcing the issue to make points. Because I think we know that we have to be up like 10 to 14 points for us to win a game because our defense can't make any stops. So instead of settling for field goals, I think Coughlin and Eli and McAdoo are like, you know, we have to score. So instead of settling for field goals, we're forcing the issue. You know, we're throwing a pass that, you know, the pass against Washington that got intercepted last week. You know, Eli kind of forced it until Beckham and got intercepted. And so I think, you know, that's kind of our lack of defense or lack of pass rush is forcing our offense to be a little more aggressive. And, you know, it is what it is. But I think, you know,
I think you have some merit to that. I really do. I think that, it, you know, and conceptually you think that way. But I think that sometimes the play calling can kind of dictate that. And you're right because, you know, this team has got to score points because you look at what happened last week in the game. I mean, 2 plays, San Francisco was – they were in field goal range. I mean, 2 plays.
Yeah.
It's just – and we're like, here you go again. Now, I will tell you that the Eagles are not the greatest in the red zone. They're like the Giants almost. So both these teams have problems scoring in the red zone. So, which tells me if this is going to be a high-scoring game, there's going to be a lot of big plays in this game because they ain't going to come from the red zone because both these teams are horrible in it.
It should be fun. And, you know, people, you know, I'm guilty of it too. You know, I sat there and I'm like, we could be 7-2. But you know what? It depends on the injuries. You know, if Randall and Beckham can't go this week, it just changes everything. So I think we have to go week to week, quarter to quarter, and not even bother trying to speculate what might happen over the next month because we have no idea who's going to be on the field. And so, you know, we'll see. Anita, I need some help on my both you guys. I had the running back from Kansas City,
Jamal Charles.
Running back.
Yeah, you want to make sure you. Hopefully, you picked up Char West.
You and everybody else in the world, right?
Right now, I'm waiting on the waiver. I'm not sure where I'm on a waiver list yet. But I'm also trying to trade. So I have Dalton. I have Dalton, Eli, and Carr are one of my teams, right? So I'm thinking of trading Dalton for Chris Ivory. Do you think that's a doable trade?
I love Chris Ivory. I told people about Chris Ivory before the season even began. Like, you want to get this running back on your roster like now.
Yeah.
So I'm all about it.
I think the guy has Drew Brees as a quarterback. So I'm like hoping because Dalton's doing pretty well. But Dalton for Ivory, you think that's a fair trade?
I do. I just, you know what? One thing I think you need to do at this point and stage in the game is I think you need to look at the matchups moving forward. And you know, listen, for Eli, you know, I don't want to insult anyone, but for Eli, I mean, this is a very favorable matchup moving forward.
So keep Eli.
I think it all depends on our injury. You know, I think if we do keep.
So this is
for some reason. I'm keeping Eli. I'm just a Giant guy. I'm gonna keep Eli.
This is my only concern, is that you're gonna have Eli going up against the Jets in Week 13. I don't like it. And then you have Eli going up against the Carolina Panthers in Week 15. I don't like it. That's the only red flag for me. I would look at Andy Dalton's numbers. I would look at Andy Dalton's schedule and I would see. I want to say that he might face the Ravens again, especially if he faces the Ravens in like 13, 14, or 15. Man, right. I don't know. I think you got to keep Dalton. I mean, he's killing it this year. He's killing it.
Yeah.
He's
but
number
I need
three.
Back, so
he's
I gotta,
the number
I gotta
three.
Give something to get something back, you know.
Oh, you can't go wrong with Ivory, but you got to give
but
up
gotta,
somebody.
You, I'd
give
totally,
up Carr.
Yeah.
You can't.
Carr?
Nobody's going to take Carr.
Oh, he has Carr.
Exactly.
I know, but nobody's going to take – no one's going to take Carr for Ivory, man.
Oh, no, I'm just
right.
– that's why I said don't ask me, ask her. I'm just
but
saying
I think,
if you were swapping
but I think,
people.
But I think that they'll – I think they'll take Eli or Dalton for Ivory, especially if they're stacked at the running back position. But yes, to answer your question, if there's a running back that I think that you should go out and grab, it's absolutely Chris Ivory. I love the dude. I own him in every single one of my fantasy leagues. So yes, go get.
So hopefully the guy I'm trying to trade with will see we'll do the trade. All right, guys, thank you.
Okay. You got it.
Thank you,
so,
buddy.
But you definitely want to get.
I didn't know he was trying to trade for it. I guess
to
get somebody.
His name is Sharkandrick West, and apparently word out of Kansas City is that is going to be the guy who best fits the system. He's in second year. He's athletic. He runs very similar to Jamaal Charles. As opposed to Nile Davis. So West is a guy that you want to own. I call him Shar-Shar.
Sharkandrick West?
Sharkandrick. Who wants to say all that? I don't. Shar-Shar.
Oh, it's a tough one.
You like it? Shar-Shar West? Say you like it.
It's easier than Kashandrick.
Okay. So you like it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go for it.
Let's go to line four. We've got Derek in Atlanta. Derek, welcome in.
Derek.
Hey, I just picked him up in a couple of my leagues. It's funny because a lot of other people weren't paying him much attention.
But you
and
were.
Picked up Nile Davis. So, but I'm still kind of debating whether I'm going to start him. I just want him on the bench, and no one else to get him.
He's got a tough matchup. He's got a tough matchup this week against Minnesota. Minnesota's only given up 3 touchdowns to opposing running backs so far this season. So no more than a flex play for West this week. Just FYI.
There you
go. Okay.
Flex him.
So
I'm boring. Jeff is. This is like. This is not normal language for Jeff Eagles right
I'm not
now.
A fantasy football guy. I'm a real football guy.
Flex.
So if we want to talk about real football, then I'm right here for you, all right? The other stuff, I don't know, flex this,
goodness.
Flex that,
anyway,
you know, trade Derek, this, trade that.
Derek, let's
Jeff,
talk
Giants. Here's,
let's
a, here's
talk
a real
Giants.
Football question for you.
Yep.
Right, that's cool.
Last year, the Giants just had the same record. They actually scored more points, I think, than they have currently right now. So how do you feel the team is from last year?
Well, they had Cruz.
Had to be,
remember,
they had
to
be pretty high coming off of that, you know, 30, beating the Falcons 30-20. They scored 45 points the week before against Redskins. So they were pretty confident. What do you think the difference is in these teams this year and last year?
Well, I'll tell you this. Okay, so first of all, that you know, teams have a whole. They had a whole year to look at tape on the Giants in McAdoo's system. Okay, he didn't just bring the Packers system here; it was his own system. Okay, so that's the first thing. Second thing is you had Victor Cruz in the lineup until he got hurt in those games too. So but you didn't have Odell Beckham. Remember the first 4 games.
Right.
So the other thing is that I think the offensive line is completely different. So these two, when you talk about what's the difference, I think the chemistry. And the personnel are, you know, you didn't have Shane Vereen last year. You have him this year. But your question is, why are they maybe not scoring as many points as they did last year? Is that kind of maybe what you're trying to say?
No, kind of like, how do you think the team feels about themselves?
Oh, okay. I'll tell you what. I think
more
this
– confident team? Because I would think they would felt more confident. They felt confident going to Philadelphia last year, you know, winning 3 in a row and scoring a lot of points.
I think it might have been a little more smoke and mirrors last year than it is this year. I think this team knows that they can win games now when it's close. I think their confidence now that they can win on the road, the big game that they had in Buffalo, especially that goal line stand for the defense. I said this earlier that, you know, plays like that can really catapult a team for the whole season. I think what they did last week, being able to come back in the fourth quarter rather than the team come back on them, proving that they can win in the fourth quarter rather than lose one in the fourth quarter, two of them, by the way. So their confidence to me, I think, is a lot better this year than it was last year. And may or may not be the case, but that's just my opinion. Yeah. Good question, okay, though. It's a good football question.
And are we going to – I mean, it's a hurry-up offense going to get a hurry-up offense.
Yeah.
And I guess nobody runs more plays than Chip Kelly. So the good thing about them is they have a lot of three and outs this year. So hopefully that'll help our defense. But we were tied in the fourth quarter in the last few games. Man, this team is going to need every healthy body to play this game. Because I think they're going to be – it may be a scoring fest just because the defense is not going to be able to – going to be tired.
Sure. I mean, you know what I like about the Giants defense when they bring Whitlock in the fourth quarter? he's like this fireball guy.
How do they fall for this move every time? I'm like, why don't this guy go out and train the rest of these defenses?
I know, man. So great because it's like he's got all this energy, and these other offensive linemen, they're tired as hell, you know. And it's like, these are the two offenses that are just they're all over the place. They're quick, fast. So these defense or offensive linemen for the opposing team, they get Whitlock there in the fourth quarter. He's like just, boom, just spin move. They can't stop him. It's great. Yeah. Great to see. But it's going to be an interesting matchup this week for both teams. And I think that offensively, I think it will be a high-scoring game. I'm with you there.
Yeah. It looks like we're going to go down to the last possession. We got to score some touchdowns in the red zone.
Listen, the Giants fans are used to this team going down to the end these days, right? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Some tweets, mind you, hit us up, hashtag Giants chat. Any word on Cruz, Beatty? Is week 7 the return date? I haven't heard anything.
Well, I mean, it's it doesn't have to be. It doesn't say that that's when he comes back. It's a minimum of 6 weeks plus the bye. So, yeah, I mean, theoretically, that's the week he comes back to practice and he's able to be active. But that doesn't mean necessarily that he's ready to play. I don't know. I have no clue.
This is Donald. He says, don't forget Nile Davis. He'll be a part of the offense. So I'm not so sure about Char West. Well, I understand he's going to be a part of the offense. But everything that I'm hearing and reading out of Kansas City is that West is going to be the next man up. I'm sure Davis will come in. That's why I said no more than a flex play heading into week 6. This is from George. He says, I don't know if it's true. There are so many numbers saying that the Eagles are going to defeat the Giants. Some people don't buy it. Numbers-wise?
What kind of numbers?
I don't know. He's only allowed 142 characters in a tweet. So
it's hard to do stats in there, right?
So he couldn't
by the numbers. It'd probably be matchup numbers. Just that they're this versus that and this versus that. And they're going to do this, and they're not going to do that.
Well, here is an advantage for the Eagles. They're healthier.
Well, they're healthier, but,
That is an advantage.
And by the numbers, he's probably talking about how many times the Eagles have beat the Giants over the last, 18 games or whatever it is. What's that stat? I know it's there. I read it this morning. I was going to write it down. It's 14 out of the last, 17 games the Eagles have beat the Giants. So, yeah, by the numbers, then they're going to lose.
I thought it was interesting. Dave Spadaro joined us. If you don't know, Eli Manning won the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. So deserving. Fletcher Cox won the NFC Defensive Player of the Week, and so they're going to be going up.
They can shake hands before the game, congratulate each other.
But talk about how well this offensive line really has. I mean, they have surpassed my expectations.
Everybody's.
Especially in protecting Eli Manning this season.
Everybody's.
Right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that we talked, we all mentioned that the more that this team got together and played along each other in the cohesiveness, the better they were going to be. Well, then, you kind of had a little shuffle there when Flowers went out for a game and then Pugh had to move out. But this offensive line has played pretty darn good. I think they could be a lot better in the run blocking than they have because they're really, the Giants offense is not earth-shattering numbers running the football. But I think protecting Eli, Giants have only had a couple sacks this season. That's partially one because the the ball's getting out of Eli's hands in less than 2 seconds, and we're right around 2 seconds. And the other thing is that this offensive line just isn't asked to protect Eli for the 5 and the 7 step drop like in years in the past. He's in the shotgun. He's in, you know, he's back there and he's getting the ball out quick, and he has the receivers to do it. So my assessment of the offensive line has been outstanding. I think they need to get a little bit better in their run blocking, and they'll tell you that too. They will. If they were standing right here, they would say, you know what, Jeff, you're right. Of course they would.
Let's continue. You're so fun. Let's continue with our calls. 201-939-4513. We go to line 3. Mike is calling in from Connecticut. Mike, welcome. You're on board.
Hi, guys. Thank you very much. You know, one thing I value about this program is you let the people talk, unlike WFAN. So, Jeff, I have a ton of football questions for you, not that fantasy stuff.
That's okay. I don't want to take Anita's thunder away here. You know, I mean,
I'm going to excuse
myself.
She
prides herself on that stuff. It's a lot of work.
I'm going to use the ladies' room.
It's a lot of work now.
Not that fantasy stuff, Jeff.
Okay. All right. Well, listen. Let's talk. What you got?
First thing, let's go to the offensive line. Jeff, I talked to John Lynch last year, and he was very, very adamant that Eli Manning is looking over his shoulder, scared that Will Beattie is going to constantly miss this guy. I don't think adding him back immediately is going to benefit the offensive line, especially in the running game. He's a finesse tackle. I've never honestly been a fan of Will Beattie. I think Eric Flowers is a much better fit there right now, especially, you know, let's get him some reps this year. And I think he's done phenomenal. Second thing, go back and look at the film, Jeff. You know, as a defensive end, if you're not rushing the passer on first and second down, you've got to have contain. And, you know, I love the story. Mark Herzlitz, you know, let contain go a ton against the Niners. Let Carlos Hyde get to the sideline, big runs. I understand part of that's injuries, but, you know, I can't see him out there on defense having contain anymore. But, you know, I love the story, and he's a good special teams player. I'm very happy with Brandon Merriweather. I thought he was a tremendous pickup. He brings a toughness, a veteran leadership to the team that they lost with Antoine Roll in the safety game. He's been teaching Landon Collins. So I'm very happy with all those things. But the thing I have to stress the most this week is the Eagles were deadly and special teams last year with returns.
Weren't they? Woo, they were.
And Tom Quinn needs to really dial something up this week against Darren Sproles, or else that could be the deciding factor of this game.
Well, go ahead. Sorry.
I do have one request for you, though, when I get off the line. Is it possible to get a follow from you and Nita on Twitter?
Well,
You don't care about my fantasy stuff. You said I don't want to talk about that
all right,
fantasy
just
stuff.
Send it out. I'll follow you. What the heck?
What is your Twitter handle?
It's Mr. _ and my last name is KANIOS.
All right. I have to warn you, though. I'm all about the fantasy.
Okay, I'll give you my fantasy question.
You got it.
Thank you.
Go
ahead. All right.
Thanks, guys.
After all that, I forgot what his question was.
No.
Yeah, I did, actually. Listen, Mike, I'm sorry. But I do remember you were from Connecticut, though.
No.
I think he was asking me a little bit about you know, he wasn't really asking me a question. He was just kind of commenting on the offensive line and things like that. So, you know.
Mike, right. Are you still there?
Of course I'm still
Mike,
here.
Mike, you didn't have a question for me, did you?
Did you have a specific question?
You did not ask
me
a specific question.
Yes, actually I did. And I even forgot myself because I sometimes, you know, talk a lot. So, would you sign Kevin Ogletree out of any of the receivers that everybody's been throwing out there? I think he's a great fit. I was here last year, and it really, really contributed towards the end of the season.
Well, I think
thank you for the call.
I think at this point in time, when you talk about signing guys who are out on the street, they're out on the street for a reason. And when you're in desperate times, call for desperate measures. That would be, you know, it would be, you know, a possibility. He knows the system, and you know, then you can start to talk about. Well, you can't talk about Corey Washington because he can't come back for. I think it's 8 weeks or whatever the injury settlement was. But I think that the Giants are going to understand and know what's going on here tomorrow, and they probably know today about the injuries. And I'm pretty sure that they probably had some receivers in here today. I don't know who they were. Neither of us do. I know one person that was in here. I'm not going to say who it was.
Oh, come on. No, I'm kidding. No. Please. No.
He wasn't a receiver.
Text me it.
It was another guy.
Okay.
So, and I think the only reason this guy was here was because I don't want to get into it anymore. But I think that, you know, we'll see what happens with the injuries coming up. Because, listen, if these guys are hurt, you got to go with the guys that are there. They've been in the system. They know they've been in the meeting rooms. The coaches know them. Eli knows them. Not that easy to just to bring somebody off the street who hasn't been playing for the last 6 weeks and just bring him in and put him in a game. That's not going to work.
And also, I mean, it's difficult. You've got Eli Manning, who's audibling a lot.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying.
On the line of scrimmage, so it's really, really difficult to bring somebody in who doesn't know the system when Eli is doing so much.
There's no way.
It's so much. Not no huddle offense. It's so much making those calls on the line of scrimmage, and everybody has to be on the same page.
And you might be able to do it for a series. You know, if you got a guy that hasn't been here a while, and you just bring him in, and he, you know what I'm saying? A series.
Or Eli could just, like, look over to, like, maybe a wide receiver that they just brought in and like, just, hey, then, like, shout out a number from the pattern tree.
Go.
Right?
9, 6, 4, whatever it is. Yeah.
A 7.
They don't know if it's real or not.
Post corner.
You know? Reverse the number. If I give you a 1, it's a 9.
What's an 8? Come on.
Yeah, I know.
Come on, punter.
An 8 is a deep out.
No, an 8 is a post. Even is inside. Even you go into the field, out you go out.
9 was my favorite.
9
route.
Is a fly route.
9 is just go.
Go. Go.
Down the field.
201-939-4513. Let's go to line 2. Eric is calling in from Virginia. Eric, you're on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
What's up, B?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for taking my call. I love the show.
Thank you,
man. What do you got on your mind?
Hey. Well, first of all, I think what Eli is doing right now, as far as taking control of the offense, should have been done years ago. I don't know if you'll agree with me, Feagles, but
no question.
I think that should have been.
I love him in this. Huh? I love him in the no huddle. Remember about 5 or 6, maybe more than that. He always was able to run the 2 minute. Like, and we'd always say, "Why isn't he in the 2 minute all the time? Look at how good he does this stuff." Right? I mean, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I agree.
He takes control of the offense. He knows his stuff. I mean. You know, he took us in that last drive. He won the game for us. I mean, he knew what what they were giving him. He took it and he ran with it. So, you know, I mean, Eli should have been doing this so many years ago. We would be talking about a total different Eli if he would have had control like that so many years ago. And then another thing is our secondary. You know, I mean, what are they doing to? Because week in and week out, you see a lot of breakdowns, and quite frankly, there's a lot of times that we're lucky that the offense misses that opportunity on us. You know, so I mean, what are they doing to get these guys in position? I mean, what's going on in there? You know,
it's matchups. It's the other team. Remember, these coaches are really, really good. They're not in the NFL for nothing. They're good coaches.
Right.
They're matchups. They're schemes. They make adjustments. So, you know, the game's not going to go where every single play, and this is being stupid, obviously, that they're not going to cover every single person. But when there is something that happens, there's a breakdown in the coverage, and it's probably most of the time it's the scheme and that these guys, it's a mental error. It's a mental error. That's what happens. So you can't, you know, they'll come out of a game, and if you've got so many mental errors, you ain't going to play the next week. That's why they are so adamant about guys understanding being smart. Having a smart football player is sometimes over the guy that's more skillful. So that's what happens.
Yes, you know, and I know, you know, I'm not too hard because I mean we've got a couple of rookies out there. You got Kemp Collins, you got Onga, I think his name is Wangi. Or I'm sorry if I'm saying it wrong.
That's okay.
But I mean, I love the way they play. These guys play some smash mouth football. They hit hard. I mean, Owunga is like in every play you see him. I mean, he's battling, he's hitting, and he's doing his thing. But, you know, a lot of the times, you know, it's like, oh, my gosh, you know, it's like you want to pull your hairs out, man, because sometimes there's some mental lapses in there. But I hear what you're saying, man, and
yeah,
I'm looking forward to this game this weekend. I hope we go into Philly. We kick him in the face and then move on and keep on with our winning streak. I believe the key component here is Eli. You mentioned it earlier. I mean, just getting the ball out quick. I mean, just boom, boom. That's it. Done. Play is done. We got some yardage. Let's keep it moving. And that's been helping us out a lot, and I hope we continue to do that.
Thank you for the phone call. Let's try to rock and roll through the calls we still do have. 201-939-4513. You're watching Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and Jeff Fiegels with you on this Wednesday afternoon. Let's go to line one. Rob is calling in from New York. Rob, you're up.
What's up, Robbie?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Appreciate the time.
Sure.
I got a bold prediction for this week. And I also have a couple of fantasy questions for Anita, even though a couple of calls ago was making a complaint about it. You know, I don't care. The bold prediction is I feel like even though, you know, our offense is really, you know, rocking and rolling with the passing game, due to the injuries, I feel like, because I feel like I was listening yesterday and somebody was saying how we have to do something different, whatever. I feel like this week, even though our offensive line needs to step their game up with their run blocking, I think that's going to be a bigger emphasis this week because of the fact that we have so many injuries with our wide receivers. They're going to focus a lot on that on practice. My bold prediction this week is that our running backs are going to combine for close to 200 yards in this game.
Whoa.
Okay?
That is bold.
I'm not one single guy. I mean, over the three of them. Okay. Combined for over 200 yards.
Rob, I will say this. If there is no Odell, Reuben Randall, or Victor Cruz this week, which pray to God that's not the case.
I hope not either.
I think we're going to see Shane Vereen become more of a hybrid slot receiver / running back. And I think that would be huge. I think he's going to be a big part of the passing attack if that's the case. Just out of him and Larry Donnell, I think both of them, you want to talk about fantasy, I think both of them, their value increases tremendously, especially in PPR.
And they're going to need to know that sooner than later because they have to start game planning for this game. They just can't come out on Friday all of a sudden and say, oh, you know what, guess what, we're going to put Shane Vereen in as a hybrid player now. They bet if they're going to do it, and it's probably a good point Anita makes, they're going to do it. They got to do it sooner or later so they can game plan against and get it in the books, you know, so these guys can start studying it.
Right. And the fantasy question I had was in my league, I'm looking at two defenses to play this week, and the Giants show. One of them is the Giants, and one of them is the Titans. What I wanted to know was,
who do you think
is a better play?
Yeah, I like Tennessee. I like Tennessee a lot this week, going up against Miami. Those coaching changes. Apparently, there's some dissension in that locker room with Ryan Tannehill. They're not giving the ball to Lamar Miller. If you can't run the ball, what can you do? Jarvis Landry's been non-existent. Jordan Cameron is a little beat up.
That's a sinking ship down there.
Yeah, and so it's at Tennessee. It's not in Miami. So and Tannehill actually doesn't play as well on the road as he does at home. So I like Tennessee. In fact, they're a defense that I'm considering using on DraftKings this week.
Oh, that's awesome. The only last comment I have when it comes to fantasy is I was actually I'm in fifth place in my league, but I'm on the up, and I was actually able to pick up West on Kansas City, but I can't start him this week because my running backs are Murray Foster and Deion Lewis in my flex. I can't sit any of those guys because you never know what Murray can do, and because I invested such a high draft pick in him, I really don't want to like sit him.
Did you have Jamal Charles?
No, I didn't, but so I picked him up just in case.
So this is what I did, okay? I play – don't laugh. I play
12?
Yes, I play in 12 leagues.
I've heard that.
So what I went out and I put in a – even though I didn't need him, I put in a waiver claim for him, and now I have offered him to the Jamal Charles owner in a trade.
Right. Well, that's actually really good. I was going to ask you, should I wait a week to try to use him as trade bait and see what happens?
No, use him now. I mean, whoever lost Jamal Charles, if they weren't able to get him off the waiver wire, they drafted Jamal Charles in the first round. They're panicking right now. They need something. If you are stacked at the running back position, then often you can get West because you are at a higher spot to get that waiver claim, get him, and then trade him.
Yeah, because he has Duke Johnson Jr. and Washington's Thompson, and he doesn't have anybody in the flex except for wide receivers, so I'm probably going to try to push that out there.
Okay.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Jeff, thank you for your contributions. Anita, thank you for everything. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks for calling, Rob.
You got it. Let's go to Rob in Chi-Town, Chicago. How about those Cubs?
How about those Cubs, Anita?
How about those Cubs, baby? Whoa.
If the Mets beat the Dodgers, are you guys worried?
No, not at all. I cannot.
No?
Can you imagine a DeGrom? Stop it. Can you imagine a DeGrom, Arrieta, game one against the Cubs. How much
yeah,
fun would
like
that be?
I like the Cubs, man. I think they got them young hitters. Woo, and their bullpen is way deeper than the Mets. But anyways, that's
yeah, I'm really impressed with the hitters.
Rob, I think it'll be fun. Hopefully. DeGrom could pull it off against Greinke.
Well, if he pitches
night.
Like he did the first game out there, then yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. But congratulations. What do you got going on, Rob?
I just got two quick questions. Jeff,
right.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you, buddy.
Giants rule.
they do, don't they? Especially on this
they
show.
They do. touch on one thing with that caller earlier. I don't know why they don't give it to Eli Moore. In 2010 during the Super Bowl, he did the two-minute warning, and he drove down the field. So,
yeah, he plays
well
in that offense.
They give it to him.
Yeah, well, they're giving they're giving him a lot more latitude with this offense at the line of scrimmage. And you look at it every week, particularly in the first half. There is no huddle. He's up there, and no huddle doesn't mean they're running a play every 10 seconds. He's at the line of scrimmage with 17, 18 seconds, and he's looking at what they're doing and trying to get the defense to commit. Commit early so that he can change the play, and if he can change the play, then they got to stick in the defense that they just went with, and that's how you can game plan it at the line of scrimmage.
I mean, he had the best teacher with his dad, so
yeah,
you think they'd give him more control. Another thing, maybe Anita, you may know, what's going on with JPP? I mean, I met him 2 years ago. I took my kids to a game here in Chicago, and I met him, had a couple words with him. I thought he was a great character, and I really wish the Giants would keep him around. But
yeah,
hold on real quick. Let me just finish the point with it. If they don't do anything with him, are they just going to let him go this year? And
That's the million-dollar question, Rob. And again, thank you for the phone call. I will say this about JPP. He really is a fantastic young man. And I know, and I've said this before on the show, Jeff, I know that this is only the second time you and I are hosting in the regular season. But, you know, so much is made about, you know, the incident and the money and are the Giants going to sign him and are they not? Like, I think sometimes we as sports fans lose sight of the
what
fact
he's going through.
That this is a human being.
Yeah.
Who just suffered a really horrible situation.
Tough.
And our hearts go out to him. And hopefully,
I'm
you know.
I'm aware of it.
Yeah, so.
I was not to change the subject, but I was blown up in Iraq. And I understand his mental, and I understand everything he's going through. And my heart does go out for that boy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hear
I'm going to take it off the air, but I just wanted to wish my son a happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, he's 17. We met him in Victor Cruz, and when I met Jason Pierre-Paul at that game also, we got autographs from Victor Cruz. So it was a good day for Giants, and I'll take it off the air. Thank you very much.
Rob, again,
thank you.
Thank you, and very sorry to hear about what happened to you as well. But to be honest with you, I haven't heard anything new about JPP. I know he's supposed to meet with the Giants sometime again soon. I don't know when that date is. I know based on I follow him on social media. I know he's working hard. He's posted videos of him lifting weights and doing a lot of activity, trying to get into better shape to play the season. Will that happen? We don't know, and I haven't heard anything new.
Well, one of the reasons why you haven't heard from him is because the Giants are on a 3-game winning streak too.
Yeah.
That happens.
Good point.
So, you know.
Winning, it's the best deodorant.
Exactly. It
yep.
does. Covers up a lot of smell, doesn't it?
It does.
But,
it does.
I mean, you know, which is fine. And you know, but the fact is that we don't know about JPP. Hopefully he's getting better. And you know, just like the caller, Rob, had mentioned, you know, it's not so much. It's not only physically, it's mentally.
Yes.
And how you have to, you know, you grow up and he's in his 20s all your life with the finger here and he doesn't have it anymore. You know, how to mentally get over that. Mentally get over where he should be playing football and mentally get over where he should be making money and all that stuff in his mind. It's all going around and around, and we hope he can get back in speedy recovery.
Whether
so.
It's with the Giants or not.
I
hope that he still has a career in the NFL.
Yeah.
Let's go to Greg in line 3. Greg's calling in from New York. Greg, welcome.
What's up, Greg?
Hey, how you guys doing? First time call. I hope I do all right here.
You're
going to
do
short
fine.
Sweet for you guys.
It's only me.
I know you're running late.
No pressure here.
Yeah.
Really.
But, hey, listen, I listen every day. I love what you guys do. Hey, listen, let's go Giants. I'm really so hyped right now. Like, I would never think that we'd be in the spot. I know if things were looking up. But, I don't know, I just had to call in and say, really, I'm just so hyped. Like,
Greg, you said you never thought we'd be in this position. Did you think that the Giants were not going to be this good this year? What was your take?
The thing is that I just kind of have – I didn't want to get my hopes up, per se.
Gotcha.
Like, every year I always think, like, we're going to make the playoffs. Really, I guess it's just the last couple of years, 4 years or so. But
we got a big game this week.
This was the only year that I really didn't think that we were going to go anywhere. I kind of lost hope, and here we are. We're only 3-2, but we're first in the division. And, I mean, we're going into this Eagles game. As long as we could keep it going, I think we could maintain this lead. I hope.
What do you think? What do you think the main? How does the Giants win against the Eagles this week? What do you think?
Basically, this is hard to say, I guess, but you know how there's kind of those plays in a game where like the whole game can kind of just get turned around, like the score is even somewhat, and then like the Eagles like return a fumble for a touchdown or something. It's things like that. I feel like they need to avoid. Like little things, which they have been doing. They haven't been. I believe the only fumble, the only player to fumble the ball so far has been Eli, and that's understandable.
Well, they do take care of the ball, and historically in these Eagle Giants games, there's a lot of big plays that happen like that. There's kickoff returns for punt returns for touchdowns. I kicked one of them to Westbrook 1 year. Then you had the one to Sean Jackson, the Matt Dodge one. You got the fumbles, and there's always big plays that happen in these rivalry games, and. Hopefully that doesn't happen against the Giants this week, but we'll see what happens. So.
All right, we're going to end on some fantasy. This show brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. You said DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo code New York to play for free today. What I'm going to throw out some sleeper plays.
Sleeper.
Heading
sleeper
into
plays.
Week six.
Okay.
Of
I want to hear them.
Of fantasy football for DraftKings. And what I mean by sleeper plays, I mean quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, defenses that I think you can get on the cheap that I think are going to deliver for you.
Okay. But you got to pay for them.
On the cheap.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so Colin Kaepernick, $5,000 against the Ravens. I think he blows it up at home against a horrible Ravens defense.
Wow.
I like Blake Bortles going up against Houston. He's $5,200. I love Andy Dalton going up against Buffalo. Defense against the rush, good. Defense against the pass, not so good. He's $5,700.
How much do you get to play every week? How much do you get to spend?
Well, it depends on the games that you play.
Typically,
anywhere between $50,000 to $60,000.
Oh, okay. All right, so yeah, all right.
Okay, running backs, I really like Mark Ingram going up against Atlanta this week. He's $6,000. I think Eddie Lacy, he is undervalued. He is $6,300. Love Eddie Lacy this week going up against San Diego. They are not good against the rush. Carlos Hyde against Baltimore, $4,600. Wide receivers, believe it or not, I think this is Calvin Johnson's week, $7,300. Also, I love Willie Snead getting 11 targets last week from Drew Brees and the Saints. Going up against Atlanta, I think it's going to be a shootout. Get Willie Snead for $3,300. And I love Torrey Smith. It's called stacking. You get a quarterback and a wide receiver, and you stack them. So I like Torrey Smith as a stack in your flex play. He's $4,200 with Colin Kaepernick at $5,000. Tight ends, I love Larry Donnell, especially if there's some issues with the wide receiving core here with the Giants. He's $2,800. That's it. On
That's cheap,
man. I know, this week. And defenses, as I said, I like Tennessee going up against Miami. They're only $2,900. The Vikings against Kansas City with no Jamal Charles, they're $2,900. And the Jets teeing it up against the Washington Redskins for $3,100. You've got a Jets team coming off of a bye. As I said, they get Sheldon Richardson back this week. I think
so. How much would a guy like Eli cost? Like $9,600 or something? $10,000?
Let me see if
somewhere around in there.
You know what? I don't have the cost.
I think the highest that I picked on Friday was Andy Dalton a couple weeks ago. He was $9,600.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have.
And Carson Palmer was one of my picks a couple weeks ago, and that dude can put some numbers up every week.
I don't have Eli's
okay.
number,
but I mean, would it be around that?
But
like,
you could go.
Depend.
I'd say that Eli probably is somewhere in the maybe heading into this week against Philadelphia Monday night, probably I want to say maybe 62, 65.
Oh, wow. So he's not that expensive.
So okay. I want to say I think Tom Brady and Andrew Luck are going to be your pricey quarterbacks this week. They're going up against each other with non-deflated
Are they five-digit guys, 10,000, 12,000, what?
I'd say anywhere between 78 to 82.
So nobody's that high, like 10,000, huh? Okay, all right.
So, anyway, we wish you
Anita Marks, man. She knows her stuff.
We want to wish you mad crazy luck on DraftKings this coming week 6. Also, thank you so much for tuning in to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and Jeff Fiegels. Tomorrow, media will be here, media availability. Players will be talking to the media. Head coach Tom Coughlin will have his press conference. And you can tune into all of that on Giants.com. And also another episode of – it's really an episode.
Episode
right?
of Big Blue Kickoff.
Right? It is an episode because it's a show.
They're all
it's
episodes.
It's a show.
Yeah. This is episode whatever.
And you can tune in to Big Blue Kickoff Live tomorrow, high noon, right here on Giants.com.